Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we talk all things work and money with the hope we don't leave you saying, man, I hate this ish.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, tell a friend and don't forget to leave us a 5-star review in iTunes.
So shout out to a few folks who've left us 5-star reviews in the month of August. So we got the Mad Jotter, Call Me Will, Sardini P, Delightfully Brown, Lady Texas, Headphones Got My Back, Your Baby's Daddy, Jay Fortune, Flashdance, and everyone else who left us a 5-star review in iTunes for the month of August. Super appreciated. It was our biggest month ever for reviews for the podcast, downloads, and just about every other measurable thing there is. So we appreciate y'all like peace and quiet.
That Headphones Got My Back hashtag, or I guess username, is really appropriate this week, given the, I'm going to call it, blow up. I'm not sure it was quite qualified for viral story of how to talk to a woman when she has her headphones in.
Uh-oh. I didn't see that one. It's probably for the better.
I think I only saw the headline, but that's literally all I needed. And then I saw a lot of angry, you know, hashtag angry Twitter, hashtagging and angrying about it. So well played, Headphones Got My Back. I'm sure they do. And I want to thank y'all for the continued love and support as well. We do this show for you.
Indeed.
You can tweet along to today's episode using hashtag or pound PayBal, and you can at us directly at PayBalances.
Indeed, indeed. So now that we got all of the formalities out of the way, let's talk about the dope news this show is really about, this particular episode. Let the people know, good sir.
So if you're listening to the show, it's official. Debt-Free or Die Trying, the book is now in stores.
Yeah. And
by quote-unquote air quotes stores, I mean Amazon and its associated affiliates. You know, honestly, I have no idea what Amazon is doing with the book or where they're selling it. I'm just putting my trust in their hands. I think I signed a disclaimer, a waiver, my rights, my life, possibly my soul away. But I trust that they are somewhere selling that book, and it is definitely available at Amazon.com.
Good stuff. Like, you know, it feels like it's been, we've been talking about the book for a long time. And now it's here. It's like in the mix.
Yeah, it's weird because for me, I've been working on it for like 3.5, maybe 4 years now, but it's new for everyone else. So everybody's like, man, are you excited? I'm like, man, I'm so relieved to get this book over and done with. Y'all don't even believe like all the behind the scenes, at least it's coming into fruition. And I got a side story about that. I only plan to release the book digitally. In fact, I did release it digitally. I kind of moved on with my day. I think even you were surprised because, you know, it comes to a point, and I don't blame you, where I've been talking about it for 3 years and you've been around that entire time. Like, man, this brother ain't going to do nothing, man. He's just been talking about this detox album.
I mean, I knew it was coming at some point. I have faith.
So it finally dropped. And then I think it was like a savvy millennial had the audacity to ask me, yo, where can I get the book? And I was like, yo, it's on Kindle. And they were like, no, I want a copy of the book. And I was like, Jadakiss voice, because I don't know how to do Jadakiss voice. Why? And then, so it took me another few weeks to reformat, edit, and draft the paperback of the book. It was a little bit interesting to me. It even my dad is rarely surprised. I don't think ever, but definitely lately in his latter years.
Yeah.
And even it surprised him. He's like, young people wanted to read books. I was like, there's hope for the future. He was very adamant and hopeful as a teacher and educator, for those of you who didn't know. My father was very happy to hear that y'all still want to read physical copies of books. So for whatever that's worth.
Yo, one of my friends says she cops both. So she'll listen on Kindle or do the ebook thing, and then she'll actually buy the hard copy too. So there are millennials who are doing that.
For some reason, I just thought it would be the two camps and it'd be a solid line. I don't know why. I just thought you're either a book reader or you're an ebook reader, and that's that. So I was really surprised to hear that people really wanted the what the hell was I calling it the first time? The manual?
Oh yeah. So you were calling it the manual book, and I'm like, you mean like the paperback?
Yeah, exactly. See, I read so few paperback books, I didn't even know what to call them. I was like, you know, it has a binding. It's usually square or rectangle. You're like, a book?
Yeah.
So I did realize that I might have been limiting my sales just by offering electronically. So yada, yada, yada. That was my way of saying thank you to the listeners, fans, supporters, and even the haters for continuing to push me to improve. It is because of you. I am undoubtedly a better writer. I'm a better professional. And if we're keeping it real, I'm a better person because of this show and the people who support us.
Damn right.
So hashtag plug, you can visit paychecksandbalances.com/debtfree to purchase the book.
Yes. Again, paychecksandbalances.com/debtfree. If you do nothing else today with all the other things we normally ask you to do, make sure you do this. Drop by, pick up that book, that hard copy, that manual book, that hardback, or that digital, if that's your thing. That's also an option, too, for our millennial friends out there who don't believe in actually holding books. I completely respect and understand that, too.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Now you got both avenues, and I appreciate y'all for forcing me to be great.
Indeed, man. So you're going to be pretty much the man of the show since, you know, the book is out. I know we got this money minute, just much more like a money discussion. So I'm going to let you run through that and add thoughts where it makes sense, good brother.
So I thought it would be appropriate now that the book is done to talk about how it came to be. And so I broke this down in generally three sections. So this is going to be an extended money minute. I'm going to hashtag that as a bonus, but y'all might feel a different type of way. But you're here now, so let's start this journey. And it's debt free or die trying. Ain't nobody got time for that is the tagline for this money minute. That is actually not the tagline of the book. So why did I write the book? I realized that question would come up. I'll probably have to answer that eventually. And my original thought was, I have no idea. And it was actually through writing the book that it became more clear to me over time, because the real reason is the good people, you, the listeners. And at that time, it was you, the readers, for those of you who followed me since the recovering blogosphere years. I wrote the book because people like you asked for it. Now, I mean, you asked for it in 2013, but that's neither here nor there, nor are we counting. But personally, I wrote the book because I wanted people to see it can be done. It being debt free. Like, I realize, and I've talked to Rich about this offline, what's difficult for me, it's probably took me longer to write the book than usual, is I'm like, well, I'm not special. Like, I don't have some major story. I didn't, you know, pull myself up by my bootstraps. And so I was like, why would anybody want to read that story? And over the years, it actually became more clear to me. And it was, you know, people kept asking why. And that was the why. People want to know how it could be done from someone that wasn't special, that maybe looked like themselves, or that acted like themselves, or who enjoyed making it rain like myself. I mean, they wanted to see how somebody who tweets so irresponsibly could manage to get out of debt. And I was like, okay, I can do that. All I'm marketing is myself. Oh, okay. Well, why didn't y'all say so? Although I think y'all did in 2013. So if you visit the website, it's, you know, I'm going to plug, I'm doing a lot of plugs here. I'm not going to become the plug show, but I am going to plug this particular minute. And that's debtfreeordietrying.com. You'll find a personal vision and mission statement. And I'll share the vision statement here. To show people that a debt-free life and a fun, full, rewarding life are not mutually exclusive. And I tried to summarize that in six words based on this kind of a six-word story leadership program that I was going through, like basically telling your life in six words.
I thought that was just a hashtag thing people did every week.
No, it actually, I think it started from somewhere and it's like a movement now. So yeah, yes, it is a hashtag that people do. But I think the six word story is actually a development exercise. And so I had to write one down at work and I ended up doing one that I did not count. So I think it's six words for debt free or die trying. And that is, I should have counted beforehand. Life is too short to live buried in debt. All right. It's like nine words, but eventually I'll get it down to six, but I still think that's true and applicable. And for those who have followed the show, I hope seen, I've tried to demonstrate myself, and, you know, walk the walk, is that I'm trying to follow and live accordingly. Right. Surrounding myself with positivity, positive affirmations. Yeah. I've become that guy. I try not to, you know, force it on anyone, but I become the positive affirmation guy. Just life is tough, man.
Yeah.
It'll start to wear you down over the years. And so I've been trying to surround myself with positivity, direction, guidance, mentoring, networking, and generally just maintaining a positive circle of friends and family. In other words, I ain't got time for negativity or the energy it takes away from positivity.
How's that been working out for you, bro?
It has been good. Recently, And it's weird. So, and we've talked about this, hashtag first world problems. Everything is going well. And that in some ways is creating a friction for me because I'm trying to figure out what to do next. I am motivated by fixing things. And given that, for the most part, it's about 90, 95% in the green, which is the exact state of being that I was striving to be in. Now that I'm there, I'm like, so what next?
Yo, you've said this in so many forms before. I think previously it was about like work. It was like, so this is it. Like, this is the next 30, 40 years, huh? And now it's like the same thing with you. Like, all right, so the book is out there.
Yeah.
Now what?
So it's a gift and a curse. And I think you can probably relate to this. And I think creatives can relate to this and the motivators and the challengers is when you are motivated through challenges, you therefore inherently need challenges to be motivated. So I go through cycles where I literally have to take a step back. And that's why these exercises have been helpful, where I can go back and look at my accomplishments. And because I used to not write them down, I just, you know, would do things. But I have to take a step back and really appreciate the moment that I'm in and the work that I've gone through and to also celebrate the success. I'm pretty bad at celebrating the success. I'm really good at finding the problem. I'm really good at working through the problem. No matter how long I'm actually in the problem, I might complain about it and get in that cycle. But I also realize there's a part of me that's happy fixing stuff, even if it is my own life.
Wait, so do you think, you know what? I was about to start shrinking you on the show, but I'm not going to do that.
No, it's good. I think more people relate to that than they realize. They might relate to it in different ways because I see it in different descriptions of what people are describing, in that they'll describe 9 positive things yet focus on the 1 negative. Or they might describe 99 positive things and 1 problem. I was trying to figure out how to say that without cursing live. But they still focus on that 1 problem. I don't know what to do about it. I mean, that is what continues to motivate me, push me forward. It's why I've accomplished a number of the things that I've accomplished, but it's also difficult for me to then stay in the content place.
You mean by focusing on the 1 or focusing on the 99?
I overlook the 99 and focus on the 1.
Yeah. And I think that's natural. We do that. And you think about it, what we've done in blogging, writing, whatever you want to call it. You know, you get a bunch of comments. People are like, great piece, great article. And then if you're a writer or whatever, you find that 1 comment that says something, I don't agree. This article sucks. It's the worst thing I've ever read. And it's like that 1 comment doesn't matter in the grand scheme. But if it happens to be one of those comments that actually does have some substance to it and it's also critiquing you, I think it's natural to want to look at that and try to figure out how you can solve that 1 thing versus all of the other things that are going so well for you.
Yeah, I'm reminded, and I hope I could walk through this visually, and some people have seen the cartoon. You've seen that cartoon where it's 4 pictures, and he's smiling in 3 out of 4 of them, and it's a bunch of thought bubbles, and like one in really small bubbles, like, you're ugly. And throughout the day, like, all the other bubbles start to disappear, then he can't sleep at night because that you're ugly bubble is the only one left.
That sounds like something I saw in the oatmeal.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it feels sometimes. Like, I fail to recognize all those positive thought bubbles, but I'm quick to recognize or give energy to that 1 negative. And so what I've been trying to do is, you know, simply outweigh that with surrounding myself with positivity and positive people. Just it's trying not to be drained and putting my energy in the appropriate places. And I used to do it week to week, where I would usually take Sunday. And I, because of all the lack of responsible activity that I was doing Monday through Saturday, I would say on Sunday, I'm going to do something that prepares me to be a better person when this next week starts. And that might, it could be as simple as reading. I mean, it didn't have to be something. I think people think it has to be grandiose. It costs money. Like, I ain't got time for that. It might be 15 minutes of meditation. It might be, you know, 1 hour without social media. It might be, you know, working on my budget when I was going through that exercise. And then I realized that all of these things were contributing to the positivity pool, if you will. And I realized being debt free and managing my finances is just another well-being activity that I'm participating in. And I was like, yeah, okay, now I can tie all that together and I can write a book about that. So I wrapped the book up, and the second part of this is the not so secret secret. And so once I finished the book, I've been, you know, I guess, mini promoting it. I've talked about it on Facebook, talked about it to friends and family, and it's already been positive, but an interesting exercise. You know, I always knew, you know, because I'm an information collector. I actually literally get paid to collect information, as those of you know, I'm an auditor. But, you know, I knew conceptually that everyone has debt. And, you know, it fluctuates and there's different averages and everything like that. But it's such a taboo subject. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
So since I have begun promoting the book, you know, friends have reached out privately and publicly both to congratulate and to ask for questions on insight and advice. And that's been eye opening to me because, again, I go back to, you know, well, why are you asking me? But they're like, well, you've done something that I haven't or that I want to. I'm like, oh. Oh, okay, that makes sense. But it's, I still haven't crossed that line of, oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Like I'm not an expert, and I never will be. I'm learning as well, and probably my quote unquote expertise is, here's what I tried that worked, here's what I tried that failed, and stay away from the failed column as much as possible. But that's been really helpful exercise with some of my friends already, and I imagine that will continue to happen. One example that comes to mind, and I'll keep this a little bit anonymous, so I apologize for if it's more vague. I think I can keep it ambiguous, but enough for it to be clear to the listeners. I was discussing the book with some friends, and, you know, of course, they first my friends have to bond with me by making fun of me. So now I'm the Black Dave Ramsey in the group, you know, whatever. I guess, you know, I've definitely been called worse things by this same group of friends. So after they got all those jokes out the way, I was actually surprised to hear how many of my friends, peers, colleagues, coworkers had already tried with varying degrees of success to get out of debt already. A lot of them were like, oh, yeah, I tried the snowball. The debt snowball has pretty much been made famous by Dave Ramsey. Others had mentioned they'd enrolled in some classes through their community church. And I don't mean to gloss over that debt snowball. I'll just link to it in the show notes. It's a pretty straightforward concept, but I don't feel like walking through it verbally.
And I think we've mentioned it like multiple times on like multiple episodes.
Yeah, most people are familiar with it. A quick Google search will give you all the information. You know, it's not that difficult, but not the purpose of this particular show.
No shade.
No shade. And I had friends that enrolled in classes, and I really want to do a hashtag plug right here. I've heard a lot about this. So they went through their church. I've heard of other friends going through community centers. For folks interested in free classes and other resources, I actually hear about this a lot. And I myself have done this. I took a free Love and Logic course. I actually talked about this on the TGOS show a long time ago through a program offered through the city, free. Also, my previous job had a like financial center for employees that I never used, actually. I did use their investment program, but I didn't use the financial center. I always saw the sign. It looked really good, really cool. You know, yeah. Shout out to my previous employer. But it was a free consulting coaching service for debt, wealth, and investment advice. Like I said, I used it for the investment advice. Most people never ask. A lot of companies actually have these or have contracted out this service as far as financial management, but most people never ask. And if it doesn't exist, it probably doesn't exist because employees never ask. A lot of employers want you selfishly or another word, not selfishly, to manage your money well because it makes you a better employer. It also makes you a less liability risk for them. So a lot of the companies actually already have these programs in place. I don't know if you're aware of any at your, not to put you on the spot, but I'm about to put you on the spot.
Yo, I was ready to stand in the spot. I was ready to cook. I was ready to be in the sun.
I was actually just going to, you know, stall for a little bit there, but it sounds like you're ready to take the gig aim ball.
Well, no, because at work, we have a whole portal that's dedicated to these different financial services that are available, and most people don't take advantage of them. And there was stuff that I was discovering because I was doing an exercise this weekend, just going through all of my expenses, looking at my progress. Actually, some of what you talked about in the affirmation, saying, you know what, I've come a long way. There was even a point last year where I was super stressed, and Bubblekins is like, you're going to be in a much better position at this time next year, which is now, and I am. So I was kind of looking at that, and there's all of these different programs and things that are available to me that I have yet to take advantage of until today or even this week. And I think even on this show, I mentioned, well, a previous episode, I mentioned this app I use called Hello Wallet. And I shared it with you offline where I was looking at like my net worth and all of that stuff and realized that like I ain't worth a damn, like literally, like not worth anything at the moment.
But who is really? Who is?
Yeah. And I was also wondering, though, so do you think there's a stigma around taking advantage of some of these resources, though? You know, like, oh, it's, especially if it's like through work and even through church, it signals that maybe you don't have your stuff together.
I think it's twofold. One, I think people just don't like to talk. It's a taboo subject. People just don't like to talk about money. They don't like to confront it. And it's just culturally, I'm going to say for Americans, especially because I've never lived anywhere else, but I hear it's not as bad to talk about income and finances. And then number two, I think probably even bigger than that is it's incorrect, but I follow it, that to use these resources is usually seen to admit there's a problem. Mm. And I mean, I think you could say that about a lot of things, but when it comes to finances, like, well, if I create a budget, and a lot of people, you know, certified financial planners and financial experts talk about this a lot. A lot of people view a budget as telling them what they can't do instead of showing them what they can do. And I just think a lot of folks are, well, if I go and talk about my investments, then that means I admit that I don't know how to invest. Right. And so it's a kind of a strange combination of arrogance and ignorance, and I think, you know, fear. Yeah, also, I would say, because most people know it's not going to paint a rosy picture, because they've, you know, two thirds of people don't have a budget. So even though they don't have a budget, they probably know that it's not good, because they're probably living check to check, like a lot of those two thirds of folks are. So they know in concept, or they have an idea of like, hey, it's probably not that rosy. But, you know, of course, ignorance is bliss. So if I just don't know how not rosy it is, I can still pretend it's a rose.
Yeah. And that makes sense. In some ways, it's making people confront a reality. And I think even the way that I've handled some financial stuff in the past, and this still happens today, where sometimes I'll know there's something that I should look at, but I delay looking at it for as long as possible because it's going to confirm that thing that I already know that I've somehow been telling myself like isn't a reality. And so I've like purposely avoided stuff. Even, you know, as I was looking at increasing my 401k, and I was like, all right, there are some things I don't know. And I had to sit there and think, like, why have I waited so long to like look this up? And it's because I didn't want to confirm what I already suspected. But I was willing to endure more of the same versus just take that action, because having to admit it to yourself that there's just something different about that.
Yeah, I think another huge component here is ignorance actually isn't bliss, and it's also very expensive. So as we talked about, yeah, you know, using ourselves as examples, and some listeners have written in, when I let that credit card lapse out of the free introductory period, I was paying $100 in interest every month for no reason. I actually had literally other cards that I could have moved that money over to. Like, I was just, I don't know what I was. I was lazy. I don't know. Wasn't paying attention. I don't even have an excuse. And there's just no intelligent reason to be misplacing. I am not balling enough to just be tossing hundreds of dollars around that could be going into my pocket, or at minimum tossed in other places.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, I was just paying the ignorance tax, as I guess I'll call it in that example.
I did the same, man. What? I forget how long that stretch was, or how many episodes ago where I talked about, like, I had a card that every month that like the interest was over $100. And yeah, like I dealt with that for years. Even this card in general, Bubakins is like, at one point there was like $12,000 in this card. And she's like, how does that even happen? And then she looked at your book and was like, all right, I see exactly how this could happen. But go ahead.
I mean, that's a great point, too, is I'm even now, but less so, surprised. I'm more surprised. I'm no longer shocked, but I'm surprised how quickly debt can grow just by taking your eyes off of it. It's like a debt tapeworm. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to charge this, I'm going to charge that, you know, whatever. I'll just pay it at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And I get that bill at the end of the month. I'm like, what? Who did this? Fraud. What's the fraud hotline number? Oh, wait. Oh, 7.99, 8.99. Oh, okay. I did this.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah. Like that shocking revelation where you're revealing your checking statement or your credit card statement. You're like, who did this? And then only to realize you is who. That's a painful exercise. And I'm just trying to offer insight or advice and tips on how to avoid that self-promulgated shock. Like, you're shocking yourself.
Yeah. It's painful, man. I've done it.
And then the last, I guess, section I have for this, our theme is ain't nobody got time for that. This is actually literally something someone said to me, which I thought was funny. They were joking. But, you know, the common themes that it's hard. It takes forever. It's also hard. You know, getting out of debt does take a long time, but so does staying in debt, which actually takes a lot longer than getting into debt. So I estimate it'll take about twice as long to get out of debt than it does to get into debt. You'll need to mentally prepare yourself for this reality, because otherwise it will suck more than usual. Managing it on your own or those of your partners, and I've talked about that, it's part of the journey. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I'm not going to be the, oh, no, it's just make a couple sacrifices, eat a couple cheese sandwiches and cut your cable off. And I was so happy. No, that's not how it went. I mean, I did those things, but I like cable. Yeah. I like watching The Walking Dead like anybody else, man. I'm human. But I just made a choice of where I'm going to spend my money. And when I took a step back, especially an emotional step back, and said, well, is that where I want to be spending it? Do I want to be spending hundreds of dollars, in some cases it might have been thousands of dollars, in interest monthly, or do I not want to watch The Walking Dead a few times this month? And when I look at it that way, I'm like, I mean, it's choices. And we talked about that, actually, it was on two episodes ago now, where we're kind of confusing our entitlements. Yeah, that's true. Our entitlements with our needs. And when I went through that list, it's like, you know, do we need flat screen TVs and DVRs and Blu-ray players? And I'm like, yes. That's my emotionally visceral response. But when I took a step back, I'm like, huh, I guess those are wants. I'm making a choice to spend my money in those areas and on those things, which then gives me the power to make the choice not to.
Yo, it wasn't long ago that I was trying to justify spending $250 on a smart doorbell. And Boobukins is like, who's coming and ringing our doorbell? I was like, I mean, ain't no one ring it yet, but you know, what if UPS leaves a package out there and someone steals it? We'll be able to see them. She's like, you do not need to spend $250 on a doorbell, which I did not, but I really tried to sit there and justify that as a need.
And you also reminded me of something else. And first of all, that something, one of those something is budgeting sucks. I mean, let's just put it out there. I think it's actually easier for people to digest versus trying to paint this rosy, glossy. Maybe that works too, because Rick Ross didn't appear.
Rouse.
Because he's always blowing money fast. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And so debt usually has interest payments on top of the money you spent. So basically, if you want to pay more for something than it costs, plus use money you don't have, then put it on a credit card. I'm kidding. Please don't use a credit card. But that's exactly what we're saying is, hey, this thing isn't expensive enough. I want to pay more money for it. And I'm like, I was going to stop doing that. But the other part that you pointed out that is insane to me, and I do it still, is the bulk purchases. So I'll go 6 months being responsible.
It's like a binge.
So I'm saving my $200. I'm not drinking my cup of coffee, you know, so I'm saving $25 a week. And I'm really thinking I'm balling out. And then I'm like, you know what? I need rims. And then I just spend like $1,500 randomly on some like something I just basically don't need. So I'm still working through that. So I think what it is it's the I've been doing so well tax, let's call it that. It's like, so now let me tax myself and lose all those savings I've gained over the last 6 months. It's like, you know, when you go on your diet, then you you calorie overload. It's actually probably worse. It's like you stopped smoking and then you're like, no, what I deserve? A weekend of chain smoking. Like, that's not how it works. And I still do that. And I don't have an excuse, but it's just those big purchases are as deadly as the death by 1,000 debt stabs.
Oh yeah. It'll come back quick, fast. And it's funny you mentioned the food one, because you know, I talked a while ago about how I lost some weight. And then I was thinking yesterday as I was abundantly eating copious amounts of barbecue, I'm like, you know, this is probably going against everything that I had done before to lose the weight. But you know what? I earned this. Right. I just, I deserve this 4,000 calories in one sitting.
Yeah. So let me unravel all the progress that I made. Do as we say, folks, not as we do. I attribute that to debt overload. It's also rare that debt's conveniently allocated on one card or bills come from one single source. Talked about that on episode 16. The average U.S. household had $204,000 in mortgages, credit cards, and student loans on a median household income of $55,000. I mean, we live in debt, and we all do. And I do think we can make a choice not to do it. So kind of in that regard, my next goal, now that the book is out, is I'd like to develop a 4-week or 1-month program for how to get started, because I do realize, and I agree, people ain't got time for that. And the plan is the easiest part. Sticking to the plan is the hardest part. I talk about that in the book. I talk about that all the time. And I think it's true. Like, I could put a debt plan. We did it on one show. We put a debt plan for this young man at 26. I don't know. I'm going to believe in him. Positive affirmation. Please write back in.
I'm going to give him 12 to 15 months to do it versus the 9.
Yeah, it was an ambitious goal for those of you who listened to that episode. But it took us 15, 20 minutes to put it together. Like, the plan is not that difficult. Sticking to it is the difficult part. So I'm in the beginning stages of this. I'm thinking of what a quote unquote debt-free course could look like. And I realized two things. Several people have, and I know they will ask, what's the first step? I want to get out of debt. Usually when they ask that, they're saying, I want to get out of debt. I don't want to make any changes to what I'm doing with my financial lifestyle. And in fact, I want to spend more money and I want you to tell me how. And I'm like, that's probably not going to work.
Not working, bro.
But I used to think the first step was develop a budget. And developing a budget is a key, very important step. But I realized the very first step is changing your mindset. And let me be clear. A lot of people refuse to develop a budget because they think having a budget tells them what they can't do. That's not true. It tells you clearly what you can do, and you can still do whatever the hell you want. But now your budget will also clearly tell you when you've moved beyond the realm of outside your means. You are literally living outside your means. You can do whatever you want. Me, your budget is only saying that now you are living outside of me. Ignoring a problem does not a problem make disappear. So again, first, you must change your mind, which might be more painful for some than others, because you might have to change your views on how you spend or even how you were taught to view and spend money, and reassess the needs, wants in your life. You can develop an accurate budget.
Yo, this part is so difficult. It's the first step. People are like, the first step, you know, that's like some people say the first step's the hardest, the first step's the easiest. I definitely think changing a mindset, habits that you've picked up, learned over years, perhaps from childhood, making a conscious decision that you're going to go against what's been so easy for you is one. It very well could be one of the most difficult things that one has to do, you know. And I was thinking, even for myself. So on a previous episode, I think I had talked about, you know, having some money saved, and I'm looking at my credit card balance, and I'm like, all right, I'm in a position where I could pay this card off. Or I could just keep putting money in my savings and looking at how great that is and just let this credit card balance sit there. And I got one of those emails from an app like, you just paid $57 in interest. And I was like, you know what? This changes today. And it took me a while to be able to do it. But I just had to say, you know what? Getting out of debt is more important at this point with what I'm spending per month in interest and carrying this balance versus being able to put this money back in my pocket per month. Like, it is time that I finally pay off this chunk of debt. And yeah, in the short term, you know, it's going to set my savings back a little bit, but it's really that mindset thing. It's thinking more about the long term as opposed to, you know, what might happen in 1 or 2 months. And I think that's really difficult for people. I've like went in and looked at this balance probably 50 or 60 times, like, should I pay it off? And I've been finding reasons to not until recently. So I can imagine how hard something like this could be for someone who's like, you know, who hasn't been listening to a podcast and they're, or reading a book about this, and they're stumbling across this type of information for the first time. Like, yo, you got to unpack all your ish and just like be comfortable with it.
Yeah. And I've accepted, it took me a long time, that the average
If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, 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 free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out.
Person operates on what's in it for me.
Yeah.
If not the majority, I'm going to go with the average just to be nice. And I think what's also difficult is because most people don't even know what their budget is, they don't know what's in it for them. And I'm a writer. I still an advocate for writing it down because I just feel like there's a forced connection there, a different part of the brain that is engaged that takes an accounting for when you write it down than if you put it in an app, which I like and I use, or you put it electronically or you use a spreadsheet. But I think that first time that you develop a budget, I'm really big on writing it down. And, you know, if you're listening to the show right now, I would just, you know, pause the show or after the show, sit down and write down all your expenses. Most people don't even know where all their money's going. They couldn't list the first five with a gun to their head. Like, most people have no idea where their money goes. A bill comes in, they pay it because the bill, it's like when I'm at work, I go where Outlook tells me to go. I couldn't tell you what my next meeting is, but I know Outlook's going to tell me to go there. Same thing with these bills. Like, write down, if nothing else, your expenses. And I think most people are shocked. I mean, first of all, most people have to do research. They're like, I don't even know where all my money went this month. So that exercise of looking into that. And when I did that for the first time, like, I was shocked and appalled. Like, I cut out like 5 or 10 things just off that first list. I was like, hey, this has got to go. This has got to change. Why am I paying for this? I'm canceling that right now. What's the number to that? Like, and so. But I had never done it before. Like, you're right. I think what people do, and we've kind of alluded to this, is, you know, I'm the expert in my money because it's my money. Not really. So I balance my checkbook, you know, I balance my account. I seen where my money's going, but that is not a budget. Like, that is not a budget. So some people are going to be like, well, you know, I know where it's going. That's not a budget. Like, unless you know specifically where it's going versus how much you're making and why, and the why might be the most important part. Because it's going to force you to answer that what's in it for me question. So some people were like, you know, were you excited when you got out of debt? You know, what'd you do to celebrate? And I'm like, no, it's a Tuesday. Like, it's like the Dallas, you know, Cowboy cheerleaders didn't come out. No confetti went off. Like, what was in it for me was being out of debt and looking at all those expenses that I was, you know, wasting. I was wasting money. And that's what probably motivated me more than anything. Like, you know, you can come up with all these happy-go-lucky reasons and justifications. But for me, I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And I am smarter than this. And I need to stop making dumb decisions. And I then went out to fix it. And I took steps and I did the research necessary to correct something that just did not make sense to me. And so I've been really important, or I tried to really emphasize for people, find out what, it doesn't have to be that same list. Find out what does motivate you, then use that to motivate you. And I don't care what your justification is or where you want to make it rain or where you want to spend your money or how you're like, I'm not here to, you know, just a judgment-free zone. But figure out what motivates you, then use it to motivate you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of what was helpful for me was thinking about the long term, you know, and sitting in, kind of going again through, you know, not so much the where do I see myself in 5 years, but I was like, what do I want from life in the next 1, 2, 3 years time, given all of the other things I expect to happen in life in the next 1, 2, 3 years time. And that was really helpful for me in being able to say, you know what, it is better for me to pay this this chunk off now and get this off my plate. And of course, I know that this is going beyond setting up a budget, but sometimes there has to be something that you want that is greater than, you know, that satisfaction of just putting it on the card, going about your life, making the minimum payment, and then going and balling out, you know, for that nice $200 dinner. That's obviously a date, you know, but that's there has to be something greater for you to aspire to. And I feel like if you can't, if you don't have goals or if you don't have something that you want to move toward, it's going to be very difficult for you to stay on track for, you know, setting up a budget or essentially pursuing anything.
Agreed. And so in wrap up, I started with thank you. I'm going to end with thank you, or my wrap up, not to cut you off, brother. You know, over the years, I've had a lot of supporters, and I don't want to discount that. I don't want to discount the 99. But in the 1%, I've also had lovers, haters, doubters, downers. And don't let those who aren't helping you on your journey stop, harm, or halt your journey. Mm. You do not need those people in your life. And I've been amazed at how far and how fast I've gone when I've been moving those people and distractions from my path. And because I have gotten into the positive affirmations, I saw a tweet from Chaz. I should have practiced saying this
Palminteri
name. I'm going to go with that. The mob boss from A Bronx Tale. And while I was looking this up, I actually found out. Did you know he wrote the screenplay for that movie?
Nah, I had no idea.
I actually didn't even know he was a writer. So he's a writer. He wrote the screenplay for that movie. And I believe he did a Broadway show on it for a while. I was very impressed.
Huh.
So Chaz tweeted, "The people who tell you you'll never make it is because they never did."
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, don't let those people distract you from your journey, your course, your trophy, participation or otherwise. That's all I got. Debt Free or Die Trying, now in stores.
Now in stores. Paychecksandbalances.com/debt-free. Yo, and the other thing I was going to say, man, about that quote and about that last point, sometimes it's not even people who are outwardly saying you're not going to make it. It's when you're trying to get started and maybe you're trying to push whatever it is, whatever project it is you're working on, and the people around you just aren't responsive or don't seem as enthused as you are about whatever it is that you're trying to build. And so sometimes, even if someone's not physically saying or audibly saying you ain't gonna make it happen, partner, it can feel that way when it's just silent and you kind of feel like you're alone out there. And that's where having some of those kind of higher level values and things that you aspire to will kind of help you to be able to remove some of those people from their life or at least ignore some of that noise. So much appreciated affirmation there, good brother.
Yeah, I also feel, to be fair, and this is something I think I learned over the years, it's difficult. But, you know, some people mean well, and I do tend to give people the benefit of the doubt, but they don't know what it looks like. So they don't know what it means to support you. And they want you to generally be successful. But when you're describing a concept or an idea or trying to take a path that they just don't know what that road looks like, I think a lot of people struggle with how to support you on that. So in those instances, I just told people, look, I get it. Like what I'm maybe trying to say, like the podcast, for example, sometimes I won't even say podcast. I just say I do a show because they get so distracted by the podcast part of it. What is it start? Does it start with a P? And why don't they call it a showcast? And I'm like,
radio?
Yeah, we get distracted with that part of the conversation. I just say, I do a show, unless I know that person already knows about podcasts. But, you know, I say that jokingly, but seriously, because, you know, once people just get the concept, like, hey, I do a show where I try to help young professionals raise their paychecks and lower their balances. Like, that's my elevator speech. They get that. Instead, we'd spend the whole elevator ride. Well, what, is it in iTunes or is it? Can I get it on the Droid? And, you know, I really don't like that iPhone. And I'm like, you know, I don't have time for all that.
Ain't nobody got time.
And so if you have someone like that in your life, or you may want to be sympathetic or empathetic with someone who's in your life who can't readily identify and support you. But that's not to me. I think some people are like, oh, well, they're a hater. And I'm like, no, they just don't get it. they just don't know what it would look like to support. And I feel like it's up to me to clarify that for them. Well, here's how you can support me. Here's where you can go. Here's what you can do if you are genuine in your support. Then there are true haters who passively or actively hate and say it. No, that's usually a little bit more clear. Don't waste your time on those individuals.
Yeah, nah. Don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah, that's it for this episode. So we want to thank everyone for listening. If you have topics you'd like to hear us cover on this show or questions, you can email us at info@paychecksandbalances.com, or you can send us a voicemail by visiting paychecksandbalances.com and clicking the orange tab floating on the right side of your screen. All you need is a microphone. It can be your computer, it can be your phone, can be pretty much any type of device that records audio. Send that over to us, and yeah, we might talk about it on a future show,
which I'm somewhat convinced also includes Facebook, based on I'll have a conversation then Facebook has a recommendation. But conspiracy theories aside, don't forget to join the Paychecks and Balances email list by visiting paychecksandbalances.com/email. I don't know why I struggle with that every time. You'll receive the PMB weekly, where we cover top stories we found throughout the week, career and money management tips, and a lot more. Again, that link is paychecksandbalances.com/email.
Yeah, and that's also a great way to get any updates about special things that are coming up. You know, of course, Wim's book, the email list will have a little bit of a heads up on the formal release. It's always weird when we're doing these shows and we're talking about the future, because I forget the moment that we're in. I feel like that was like poetic in some way, but I'll never be able to explain why.
That was hashtag tweet deep, hashtag six word stories.
Yeah, pretty much. So also, once again, got to plug the link of the show, paychecksandbalances.com/debt-free. That is the main thing that you need to be doing this week. But if you're not on the email list, same type of link, except /email. Join, get all of the goods, and we'll kick it with you there. But again, thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.